You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today is August 9th, 2023. I am MP Holmes, and this is a piece on the growing problem of rent evictions in the region of Waterloo. Over the last few months, there have been several rallies and multiple media stories on the group of tenants in the residential building at 267 Traynor Avenue in Kitchener. The residents have organized against the impending rent eviction by a wealthy investor landlord who recently bought the building and then issued N13 notices to at least 10 residents in the building and more in another on Aaron Street. Maribel Yagorin organized the tenants at 267 Traynor.
So he is evicting. Originally, there were 12 tenants in the building that was evicted, but two are already decided to leave, and then 10 are going to challenge the eviction. It's very scary at first when you get that eviction. I couldn't sleep for several weeks. After that, I kind of try to find ways to just, you know, let's see what is the plan B, plan C, what else can we do? And then I try to organize my neighbors and then strengthen each other, moral support. And then we were lucky to get the help of the Social Development Center who gave us education about our rights. So they did the outreach program for this building. The counselor on this ward, Jason Denault, came over as well, along with Janaya. They came here to do the outreach and really show that they're there to help. And then that's why we were able to organize, because they see that there's a support. The Social Development Center was the first part of the process. Janaya was there to kind of process everything for us. Like, she was the one who requested for the group hearing. And when we found a paralegal, then that's when he took over the case.
If you want to know more about the residents at 267 Traynor, Louisa D'Amato of the Waterloo Record is in the midst of writing a series of portraits about the residents. Maribel talked about the help she received from the eviction prevention program within the Social Development Center, and Janaya Nixon specifically, who up until recently was an outreach worker for the program. Janaya Nixon talked to CKMS News about rent evictions.
I would say that it's common practice for new landlords to purchase buildings and then to do anything they can to get the previous long-term tenants out so they can up the rent. So often that's an N12 personal use that they might threaten, or usually it's an N13 rent eviction. Extremely common. It's also common with existing landlords. They just don't want the tenant there anymore because they've been there for several years, so they're paying way below market rent. So it kind of becomes a game of trying to do anything they can to push the tenant out. So that includes neglecting maintenance, sending several unwarranted eviction notices, trying to offer cash for keys, so offering them a lot of money to leave. With an N13, you're only entitled to 1 to 3 months compensation of your rent, depending on the size of your building. Sometimes landlords will offer someone $10,000, $15,000, so they'll leave. I've seen that happen in several places. So it really targets low income folks and folks on government assistance, because it's kind of like dangling a carrot in front of their faces. Oh, I know you have no money, so I'll give you $10,000. But in the long term, they actually are losing money because they'll be forced to move to a unit that is way more in rent. So it's actually not that much money, but if you are in a delicate or stressful situation, you might see that money and want to take it. And once you sign an N11 agreement to end the tenancy, you have no more rights to stay in that unit. So that's another tactic that I've seen, is that landlords will try to get tenants to sign N11s agreeing to end their tenancy without actually understanding what it means to do that, not encouraging tenants to seek legal advice, not explaining what an N11 is, sometimes doing that to tenants with disabilities who they know will not understand, or tenants who don't speak English. So thankfully, in those cases, you can do things to kind of get it thrown out because they didn't understand what they were doing. But it can even happen to folks who are just under a lot of stress. They may understand what they're doing in the moment, but they weren't thinking about the long term. And landlords exploit that and they take advantage, I would say. And it's very unfortunate, because when you're in a vulnerable situation, say you have children or you have disabilities, going through an eviction is one of the most traumatizing things you can experience. I can personally attest to that. It was one of the worst things I've ever experienced in my life. So if the landlord is offering you money, you might take it. If the landlord is pushing you, you might just leave because you can't put up with what they're doing anymore. It's just affecting your health. Personally, for me, it made me lose weight. It affected my mental health. I was under chronic stress every single day, and it took 14 months for the resolution of my eviction. Thankfully, I won. It was an N12 personal use. My landlord pursued it in bad faith, but it took 14 months. So yeah, with these evictions, the landlord tenant board has hired more adjudicators, so the process isn't as long. But I mean, the Trainer and the Aaron Street West residents, they got their N13s in January, and they still have not had their hearing. So they'll have their hearing in October, and then they'll still have to wait time, maybe up to 2 months, for the adjudicator's decision. So just imagine the stress of going through that. That's why tenants end up leaving. And if no oversight is there to enforce the law, to ensure landlords aren't pushing tenants out, landlords aren't breaking the law, then it's hard to ensure that they'll follow the law, because the tenants don't have the energy to fight back often. And the ones who do just get targeted very severely.
The Housing Hardship Report from the Advocacy Center for Tenants Ontario was released in June 2023. It reported that in Waterloo Region, 37% of all tenant households are spending a third or more of their income on housing costs, and a person needs to make at least $24 an hour in Waterloo Region to afford a one-bedroom apartment here. Across the province, almost half of renters, 46%, are concerned about their landlord wanting to evict them for some reason. The Housing Hardship Report detailed how important housing is for social and health indicators, and these are impacts we've seen time and again. Things like educational outcomes, exposure to environmental contaminants and access to healthy food, the stabilization and continuation of strong mental health are all jeopardized when housing is precarious.
Our landlord doesn't really, you know, take care of the apartment anymore because maybe he wants us out. So anyway, if I had an option out there, then I would consider finding another place. It's just not within my budget. So yeah, I feel really trapped. I mean, that's how people in this building feel. And most of the people here belongs to the marginalized group, or, you know, they're mostly seniors, people with disabilities, immigrants, you know.
Maribel explained how Ward 3 City Councillor Jason Deneau has been helpful. There have been several other councillors who have spoken out against rent evictions. Debbie Chapman and Aisling Clancy are two others who come to mind. And in October 2021, Kitchener City made their feelings clear by sending a note to the provincial government asking for more strict regulations around rent evictions. But otherwise, not a lot of attention has been paid to rent evictions or N13s in Kitchener, Waterloo, or Cambridge City Councils or the Regional Council. Here, Janaya Nixon explains that despite the province's foray into these matters, the cities and the region still have resources they can use to help.
I'm not aware of a lot that's happening at the regional level. I do know that we've been advocating for it at the regional level because there are opportunities for the region to intervene. It's easy to say that it's just the province's responsibility, but it's not. The municipalities actually do have power to pass bylaws that are related to housing, especially in terms of development. And, you know, permits, because for N13s, you need to have a permit approved to do the renos. So if the city can control who gets permits, then they can also intervene more to determine who's being affected by the permit applications, who's being rent evicted, whether the landlords are following the law, whether they're being held accountable, because bylaw also has the power to intervene with property standards, right? So if the landlord starts renovating while the tenant is still there, if there's health and safety issues, property standards can issue enforcement orders. And if the landlord doesn't follow it, they can fine the landlord. But that's not necessarily always being done. So the city and the region do have power to do things. I would like to see them do more.
CKMS News contacted several city councillors, but we did not receive any comments before we went to air. While local councils say there isn't much they can do, Hamilton City Council is looking at further strengthening the rules. Since at least December 2020, Hamilton City Council has been discussing how to prevent unnecessary rent evictions, and much of the conversation has centered on the idea of adopting bylaws and regulations that exist in British Columbia. Janaya, explain what some of these are.
Cities in British Columbia, for example, they have a lot of rules in terms of tenant relocation strategies. So they increase compensation for tenants who are being rent evicted, and they also make it the obligation of landlords to help relocate tenants during the renovations. So the tenants aren't solely responsible. In Ontario, the tenants are solely responsible. If they agree to leave, they have to find their own housing completely by themselves.
Regardless of what may happen in the future, both Maribel and Janaya stress the importance of getting help if faced with an eviction.
Just knowing that you're not alone, because feeling isolated is the worst thing that you could feel, actually, in this experience. Because that's what I was feeling when I first got for the first few weeks. Mm. That's how I felt, like very isolated and helpless. And, you know, you just be like, oh, what will happen to me now? But then when you know that, oh, I'm not alone, and there's a community, and you have your neighbors, and there are organization and government agencies or non-government agencies that can help you, then you feel more empowered, right?
Janaya explained the eviction prevention program's purpose.
The Eviction Prevention Waterloo Region Program is a peer worker focused holistic approach to eviction prevention. So by peer worker, I mean that I have personally experienced eviction and been through landlord harassment and abuse. So I can personally relate to the tenants on that level. And when I say holistic, I mean we look at it from every perspective. When tenants are going through eviction, it's not just the eviction that is affecting them. They often have other things going on in their lives. Most tenants who face eviction are low income, on government assistance, and or have disabilities. So we help them cope with the stress of the eviction. We help refer them to services. We provide them legal information. We don't provide legal advice because we're not lawyers, but we help connect them to legal services as needed. We can help them write letters of response to their landlords if they're not able to do it themselves, whether if they don't want to write it themselves or they can't. We help mediate conflict. So we try to prevent evictions by mediating conflict. With N13 rent evictions, it's harder to do that because usually the landlord has a plan that they want them out. But in that case, we at least will send the right of first refusal letters for them. And basically just help them and advocate for their own rights, educate them, and support them with legal information, emotional support, spiritual support throughout the entire eviction process from beginning to end. So from the day that they get their eviction notice or an eviction threat from their landlord up until it's been resolved. So I'm happy that we've been able to help. I'm happy that eviction prevention exists, and we very much focus on helping marginalized folks, the people who might not fight otherwise, and doing what we can to help them stay housed. That's always our focus, is helping people stay housed and fighting for housing as a human right.
There are things we can do right now to help people facing rent eviction and to help prevent landlords from rent evicting people. First, you can go to the tenants activist group ACORN's website at acorncanada.org. There's a lot of information there. There's also lots of opportunities to sign petitions for change at federal, provincial, regional, and municipal levels. Kitchener Centre MP Mike Morris has voiced his concerns on the rent eviction problem and the greater financialization of housing problem.
We are in a housing crisis, and we need all three levels of government working together to address it. It's decades of underinvestment that have got us here, in particular from the provincial and federal governments. They, you know, since the mid-90s, this whole Mike Harris so-called common sense revolution in the mid-90s, well, they eroded funding for co-op housing, for social housing, and I and others have been pushing to get those investments back to the levels we need them to address this crisis. and for the policies that would shift so that homes are places for people to live again and not commodities for investors to trade. And so that's what I mean when I say we need to kind of level the playing field, because this housing crisis has and will continue to define our community.
Janaya explains how things are beginning to shift, if only at a fundamental philosophical level.
I think that housing is not recognized as a human right at all levels of government right now. I know it's we're moving towards that, and a lot of positive progress has been made on housing as a human right. But I think that it is lower on the priority list of things to focus on. And I don't think that they are very aware of the extent of the problem, because the people who are being affected by it are extremely marginalized usually. They're not being loud, they're not making noise, because they're going through so much already.
There are many options to end rent evictions. Cities and regional governments can use existing bylaws to observe and control rent evictions, and there are precedents in other jurisdictions, some of which are very similar to our own region, that we can use to increase protections for tenants, and governments reinstate funding for social housing. Several questions that have arisen throughout this story include: why aren't eviction notices made public? Why aren't N13s public? Why don't we know who on city and regional council are landlords? Finally, Maribel and her fellow tenants will be in court likely early October. CKMS will be following this case as it unfolds. But here is Maribel with the last word for this show.
We hope that the Landlord and Tenant Board will see us and will see our pain, you know, and will consider that we're human and, you know, people over profit.
You have been listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. This is MP Holmes, and thank you for listening. The music on today's show is called Maple Music by God Mode, and it is courtesy of Expectantly Maple Music on YouTube. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.